Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
Ollie, this is so fun.
Well, we're reunited.
Reunited and it feels so good. Reunited and I'm
a little nervous
good.
About this.
Why?
Because you're like a loose kind of freewheeling type of guy, you know?
Loose
I mean,
cannon.
You've taken this thing very seriously.
That's just the perception of me, though. My whole family has this perception that I'm sort of like in the streets, like running around naked, like spitting on people, you know? I mean,
are you?
Yes. But I'm not like that. Yes, I'm laid back and I'm a bit freewheeling. But I'm not like, you know, shaking hands and hugging and sort of going to dinner parties and stuff like
no,
some people we know.
I know. Also, what? Are we talking about me?
No, not you.
Oh, some people we know. Yeah, you know who you are.
You know who you are.
So, no, but seriously, we have finally said now that our family, I mean, we haven't had like long conversations
about it. This is fun
to
looking at you and talking.
I know.
It's crazy.
But we have had sort of an understanding that at some point our family needs to integrate. Mm-hmm. The kids do need to like feel like they can play together. We've all been really, really good. Mm-hmm. As things start opening up, we're still being very careful, but we're kind of opening up our family a little bit more.
Yep.
And being really transparent about the things that we're doing.
Like, but even within our connectedness, we're being mindful. Like, we're still not hugging and we're still wiping things.
No, Aaron and I haven't had our normal makeout session.
No. You know, I haven't hugged mom yet.
What?
I have never hugged mom yet.
I know. Mom almost tried to hug me yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. Mommy is so tactile. This has been interesting because, you know, her instinct is to always touch and hug. So this has been really hard for all of us, I think.
I know.
But no, we're starting to, like, we had our first family dinner last night.
That was really fun.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Right back to normal.
I know.
Nothing changed.
It was so loud, though. I have to say, it was so loud that at one point, like, I forgot how loud our family is. And I was like, I can't hear anything.
I know.
Like, I couldn't hear anything that was happening.
But it was agreed, but it was great. It was like, oh, it was this sort of double edged of like, oh, wow, this feels like normalcy again. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like,
can we like
kind of miss
the quiet?
Just being quiet. I mean, Pa comes in, he's looking at RVs, he's obsessed with RVs. So it's like the video, his RV video is playing.
But it was so loud.
It's so loud. And he's like, no one wants to. Okay, fine. He goes over to the couch. Mom's like, honey, I've seen the RV thing 1,000 times. But it was great.
It was so great.
It was really,
and
really great.
All the kids were together and. That's, I think most families that are starting to like integrate cousins a little bit more with siblings and stuff, that's the hardest part is telling kids that they need to keep distance. Like you're always like, little close there, a little close. But I, you know, look, these are the steps we're taking right now and making, and I feel good about it.
I do too.
Yeah. And
I feel comfortable, you know?
But is it...
It's crazy though. I mean, it's crazy.
I feel great. I feel super confident.
As she's putting on her visor.
I feel super confident.
Kate got this. By the way, this thing is kind of awesome, really.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain?
I haven't had this.
Explain what it is.
I also feel like if I have to go to the market, this is a visor. As you can hear, there's sort of like an echoing happening. It's a visor.
It's like a welder's mask, really.
It's a face visor. It's really meant for SPF for when you go to the beach. So women's faces are completely, or men's, but they're completely covered. So you don't get any sun. I bought one online because if I ever have to go to a market or a store, I thought I'd get myself a face mask. and so that for my eyes
mm-hmm.
and for my every pore on my face. And I think it's great.
It looks cool.
I kind of want to make some.
They're
I
good.
Think we should make
you
some.
You need one that you can see better out of.
Like clear, you can see pretty good. I like that you can't see me. That's the thing that's really fun about this. Okay, well, let's talk about what... let's talk about...
I can't wait for this whole Zoom school to be done with. I'm so ready for it to
really?
Be over.
Ugh. I kind of like it.
I don't want to deal with it anymore. Wilder... And here's my thing with this, okay? The essentials, I agree with. The math, the science, even ancient civilization, some history. But when it comes to music and art and P.E., Wilder has to sing these songs till September ends, right? By Green Day.
Yeah.
There's no reason for this right now.
Yeah, but it's good for him to, you know, sing.
Not really. We've got other things
sing,
to deal with.
Sing a song.
Sing out loud.
Sing out loud. Sing it proud. I don't even know if that's the lyric of the song. But
I've been ignoring it. I've been ignoring it as a parent. I've been like, I'm like, music, forget it, dude. P.E., forget it, dude. I don't care.
Okay, but these are actually, I disagree with you about these things, and here's why. But see, P.E. for you doesn't matter.
Right.
Like P.E., like that's what we do all day long. It's like P.E. all day.
It's not like they're learning music history. They're not learning about, you know, musicians. It's record, put headphones on, learn till September ends and sing it and then send it in. Why? For what reason? How is this advancing?
Well, maybe
anything.
Okay. Well, okay. Good question. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Not because I disagree with you, just for fun, mm-hmm. for the sake of our podcast. If I was the teacher, I would say that it would be, if I was the music teacher, I would say that it would be actively,
Yeah.
If I was the music teacher, it would be giving the child an opportunity to see if they felt connected to what it is to learn and sing music. And so that would be kind of what that is.
I know, but in this time, it doesn't make sense. Everyone's sort of trying to figure it out. You know what I mean?
I've got the three kids. I would much prefer like hearing kids like write a song or something.
That
you know?
Would be more interesting.
Or, you know, maybe if you could find an app and
that's a great idea.
Create
how about
a melody.
Write a quarantine song.
Yeah, or a poem
great.
That could
great.
Be a song,
right.
a lyric.
I'm down with that.
Right, or everybody writes one lyric in the class.
Great
like
idea.
You write a lyric and then it goes around and everybody's
great
writing
idea.
A lyric
fun.
And then the teacher kind of creates the song
the
and then you
then
can learn
put,
it.
Make some music to it
right.
and the whole class has written a quarantine song.
Right.
Beautiful, great. I
and
love this
idea. And everybody sings their line.
Right.
Right.
But now, after this podcast, I have to go with Wilder with headphones and be like, okay, sing it. And he's like, wake me up until September ends. I'm like, why? What is this doing right now? Why are we doing this
yeah,
right
but what
now?
If he connects to Green Day and it like inspires his whole life? What if this there. One assignment inspires your son to become the next...
It's not...
Incarnation of punk rock.
It's not going to... That's not a reality. Right. It's just not a reality.
I really like Billy Joe. He's a cool guy.
But you know, about this, till September ends, you know, they're singing it for this sort of graduation. They're putting in, sort of, they're making a compilation of some kind. You know, that song is about his father's death.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't know why they're singing
yeah.
this.
Well,
especially like, because, not to bring this down, but you know, one of Wilder's classmates passed away
yeah,
this year suddenly, which is just so gnarly.
That's so terrible.
That was a rough time. And the parents were amazingly strong when they finally, you know, came and talked to everybody. It was just incredible people,
really
incredible people. They felt a responsibility to the class, you know, because they knew that everyone else was hurting. And it was strange. It was the first time we saw them and they were the ones who were being strong for everyone else, mm-hmm. you know, because people were just devastated. I mean, parents were devastated. Kids were devastated.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it was pretty crazy.
You can't help but as a parent think about tragedy and fan. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Ellie, I know for me, like I think about that all the time and try to like live with gratitude that just day by day, knowing that tragedy happens all over the world every day. We're living it right now
yeah.
all the time,
yeah.
you know, we're hearing about it all the time. It's actually one of the things that I was talking about with Oprah, of all amazing people to mention, mm-hmm. but I was saying, you know, I've never been so inundated in death, whether it be the tickers on your phone, whether it be the news, we're constantly being shown all of this death, this constant reminder of our mortality, which of course is going to bring up high levels of anxiety and fear. And you realize that before we had technology, even though technology has its amazing, there's amazing opportunities that come with technology, but the negative of constantly being reminded of these horrible things that are happening is that it's so globally recognized, meaning that even though these things have been happening all the time, all over the world, everywhere, we weren't being inundated with them. It wouldn't be something that we would see every single day of our lives.
Turn off the news. I can't see it. I can't look at it
anymore. You look at like a time like now when there's so much fear. I just talked to someone on the phone today, handling like very depressed, doesn't know how to find light in this situation at all. It's all darkness. And you realize like, oh, okay, like how do we hold that person in a place so that they feel secure and feel better about, you know?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to change someone's mind, really. I mean, I just want to get away sometimes.
Right.
I'm tired of the monotony. I want to go into the mountains and just like sort of like forage. I don't know what I'd be eating because I don't know.
You want to forage?
I don't know what berries are poison or not. So yeah, I might last like three to five days, but at least it's a good 3 to 5 days.
It's so funny when people say like, who would you go? It's like, if I know I'm going to die in the woods, I'm going with you. Right?
Why not?
Okay. If I know I could have a chance of survival, like I'm taking Wyatt.
I don't know. I think I might make it over Wyatt. I'm better at providing food. Wyatt will like make a guitar if you want to listen to some nice music.
I can do food.
Yeah, but I need to do fishing.
Yeah, but we can fish.
No, you can't.
Yeah, Wyatt and I, first of all, our poles would be beautiful. We'd make beautiful fishing
but
poles.
But it would take seven weeks and you'd be dead.
But we would, no, it wouldn't take 7 weeks. It would take like a week and we'd be like very zenned out.
No.
No, you need have like panic hunting. Attacks and stuff. Like you I'd be like, Oliver, it's okay. We like, I could just see it. We're like, it's raining. It's like torrential rain and you're just having a full panic attack. And I'm sitting out there and I'm holding you going, Oliver, we're going to make it.
I think,
like, no, we're not.
My like survival instinct might kick in. I feel like if I'm in a city situation where I have to survive, that's when I'd lose my mind. You know?
Oh.
If I was, you know, like had to, I'm a flight guy. This is what I'm saying. I'm not a fight guy. I think I'm a flight guy. You know, I'm going to run. Okay. I'm just going to run.
I'm trying to think of what attachment method that makes. What attachment? I mean, it's avoidant, right? Avoidant,
I guess. Attachment? I'm just like, look, I don't want to go to
avoidant?
The danger. I'm going to run from it. You know, it's like,
right.
Why am I going to go and
my
get
God,
into danger?
That's so funny. I'm the opposite.
I'm going to go. I'm just going to fucking run. I'm going to get my kids.
Right.
Run.
Do you know how I know that I'm the opposite? One time I was in a house alone and I heard something and I got so scared. And I was so scared that I was so mad that I went nuts and I went and I took a bat and I started screaming at the house.
I do that too, yeah.
And I was like, basically like, come fucking show your face.
Yeah, I do that too.
You know, show your fucking face. And I was like, whoa. And then I realized there was nobody in the house.
Of course not. I do that too.
And I was like, wow, my instinct was to fight.
Yes. But if I had an exit, I'd do that. But if I had an exit, see, in my bedroom, I have no choice but to go there and scream, I'll fucking kill you. Because I don't have a choice. Because I can't get out anywhere.
That's not true. I know how to get out of every possible exit.
In your house?
Yeah, everywhere I go. So when I walk into a place, I know all my exits.
Sakara. So Sakara, I finally got my
Sakara. Oh, you got it.
Yep. And yay. I've been eating my Sakara, and it's super simple and yummy, and you just feel clean.
Good.
For the first time, I'm feeling clean. You know what I mean? Like my body feels like I've just taken a power washer, put it up my anus, and just washed out everything.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I love that. Their whole thing is that you don't restrict what you eat. You eat good foods.
Right.
So that everything is super clean. It's
plant-based. And it's plant-based. First of all, they're ready-to-eat meals.
Yes.
Right? You heat them up. There's some that you heat up and some that you don't. The breakfasts are super yummy, by the way.
The I really like those a favorite. Lot.
Yeah.
The breakfasts.
I had this muffin
with
this sort of like strawberry compote thing, which was amazing. It's a menu of creative chef crafted breakfasts. Yeah,
but
lunches
but
and
it's
dinners.
It's designed to boost your energy.
Yep.
Help with your digestion, improve it, get your skin nice and glowing, which it does really well because
And I got these teas too, which were good.
The teas are great. Yeah. And they have
their wellness
essentials. The metabolism powder. Which is really good.
Yes. It's
called their metabolism super powder. It's all natural. It helps with bloating, weight gain, fatigue.
Yes. And by the way, my bloat's going down. In case anyone who's listened to these ads prior, I've been very bloated. And now my bloat's going down. So right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/sibling or enter code sibling at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/sibling to get 20% off your first order, sakara.com/sibling. Get your grub on.
Right now, the death is clearly because we're living amongst, I mean, the cover of the New York Times, 100,000 people. It's just that there's so much that we are aware of and that, you know, with something like COVID, clearly that we should be continuously aware of and understand. I'm more saying like layered on top of all of this, just there's so, it can be overwhelming. So it can lead to a lot of anxiety. It can lead to a lot of fear and people feeling out of body. And the question is how do we sort of feel a sense, some sense of calm? How do we get ourselves to feel a little bit of ease so that we can honestly just be healthy so that our mental health is strong?
You touched upon it though too. It's like changing the narrative as well. Yeah, we're in this situation, right? You know, we've been in it for a minute now. But it is a time to maybe sort of open your mind up and change sort of how you're thinking and feeling. And maybe now we're able to go take a walk outside and look up. You know what I mean? Look at the birds. Look at the treetops.
Right.
Just change your perspective. You know, Mom's doing this with the sort of the laugh challenge thing too. You know, which is a fun.
I love that.
I love it too. It's so great.
People do really respond to understanding that these things aren't about taking things lightly. It's actually about how we wire our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're laughing doesn't mean that this is light or that you're not, you know, that you're sort of ignoring the seriousness of these things. Actually, creating laughter is a healing mechanism. It speaks to our brain.
Mm-hmm.
It brings the good stuff to our brain to allow our immune systems to build.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to inform people that, you know, you can laugh and it will heal.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be sad days or aren't going to be difficult days. It doesn't, you know, it's not minimizing the seriousness of it.
Sure, of course not.
But you say that. I mean, but I think that a lot of people, especially those that are suffering, will feel that way. And understandably so. You know, we are, you know, what is it, 15% unemployment rate. We're heading towards, and is now probably, I haven't looked today, but we're heading towards a true economic crisis.
Mm-hmm.
People are truly suffering. And I think that there's a way that a lot of times when some people, especially celebrities or people, that people can look at that and kind of think that it's ignorant or think that it's minimizing. But when you really understand the things that we, the small things we can do and share with people that these aren't, it's not about not recognizing those things, that, that these things can be helpful to your mental health. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll bring a different focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot, which I think there's a responsibility to understanding this, where there's a lot of people that go, yeah, well, what would you know? You know,
sure,
because you live a life of luck and of privilege, and that is correct, right? But that is not to say that there aren't things that you can utilize your platform for to share that would hopefully bring people some levity in a time like this, or some knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and that can maybe collectively help the someone's mental state.
Yeah, well, it's true, and yes. Luck and privilege, but and that takes care of sort of the tangibles of your life, but that doesn't account for sort of emotional stability. It doesn't matter how much money or how much privilege you have. You can be your emotions are going to take you in different places. Just because someone might have a house and they're okay with their job and they've got money in the bank, something like this, an epidemic like this, could mess with their minds, with their mental health.
Yeah, I mean, mental health doesn't discriminate.
It does not.
In any way. But there is a point, which is, you wouldn't know what it's like to live below the poverty line and to experience then when you're getting paid minimum wage, when your children are out of school and now you cannot make your rent because you have been fired from your job. That is a level of hopelessness that you cannot relate to, that I cannot relate to, that is happening all across our country. So there is a responsibility, I feel this, to be sensitive and understand why a lot of times there's a lot of anger mm-hmm. towards ideas of levity, or let's just try to see the good in this or the silver lining in this. I can understand how so many millions of people are like, fuck your silver lining. I'm trying to put food on my table.
I'm trying to survive.
Right. Whatever I can do to educate, to hopefully either, you know, one thing I'm really interested in is feeding. So like we're being the ambassador for the World Food Program, like we're about to go into a famine of biblical proportions. People don't even understand this. 250 million people will die of hunger because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That now we were looking at
globally.
So all of these things, like everything we can do to kind of recognize the severity of it, at the same time support it, and then also support people's mental health, know that there's ways that we can kind of hold each other and all feel connected in this in some way, but be sensitive to how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we all have this ability to use a platform to share with people, like your platform, for instance. Let's talk about what you do. No, right? But seriously,
it's a little different than yours.
But it's but here's the thing: like, you make
mine's
people so
yeah.
happy,
right.
Because you're nuts,
right?
And you're funny, and you're just like out there, and you say ridiculous things,
mm-hmm.
and you just seemingly don't care, even though I know you do deep down care about all kinds of things. But
sure,
you know what you don't do. It's interesting. You don't really get out in front of the things that you care about so much. I mean,
mm-mm.
you have a deep passion for children, the Children's Hospital.
Oh yeah,
you have so many things, right?
Yeah.
We come from a family that's like, we don't. I mean, the self-serving aspect of charity work is something we try very hard not to publicize,
right?
Like, we want to do good and aren't very interested in like publicizing that
right.
we're passionate about
right.
these things, right?
Right, right.
Almost
right,
sometimes
right.
to a fault,
right.
because you could be utilizing
sure.
your platform to share more about that goofy, crazy guy, like what you do to give children that feeling of like.
I sprinkle it into the feed. No, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But yeah.
You sleep on this.
I do sleep on this. My Helix mattress. My Lux Midnight. My LM.
Your Lux Midnight that you took a quiz.
I took a quiz.
Is Aaron involved in this quiz too?
Yes, yes.
Oh, cool.
Well, I had to include her because I had to sort of say, well, how do you like to sleep? And you sort of input these different answers, whether you sleep on your side or you know, if you're a back sleeper.
And did you actually buy the one that they
said
that you should get?
I did. Yeah. Oh. I love it. And it's like sleeping in heaven without the death part.
Oh God.
I mean, I've been on my mattress for 15 plus years. And until I put my Helix in, I didn't realize how much I actually needed a new mattress.
What we sleep on really affects how we sleep at night.
Yeah, but by the way, we as Americans do not get enough sleep. That's just a fact.
I know. I love my sleep.
We don't sleep enough. I don't sleep enough.
I want to, if I could go to bed at 7:30 every night, I'd get into bed and I would read on a Helix, and I would just slowly slip into a nice slumber around 8:30.
It's nice.
It was awarded number one best overall mattress 2019 and 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine.
That's right. That's right. So just go to helix.com/sibling. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
A 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it.
I will say this too. The packaging was amazing. It came to my house and it was in this like square or this rectangular box. And I was like, how the hell is this going to even fit? This is tiny. Cut it open and it expanded. I actually brought the kids in because it was fun. You watch this thing just expand into the mattress for your bed.
That's so cool.
So Helix is offering up to $200 of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helix.com/sibling. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/sibling for up to $200 off.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, Sibling Revelry, I love your show. I've listened to every episode since it first started. I laugh every time on the intro when Kate says, "Ew, don't make that face," which I do too, by the way. It makes me laugh every single time. I have loved learning more about your real personalities, like how Kate seems so down to earth and strict with her kids. And every once in a while, I hear your mom's laugh when she laughs. Aww. I watched Laugh-In when I was little because those were the days you watched whatever your parents watched. And Oliver, you were so honest about your opinions when you talked about Kobe Bryant and just shared your honest feelings. Like, WTF? This makes no sense. I also laugh when you ask siblings if they have a resentment to their sibling's success. And Kate always says, "No, Ollie, it's just you." I think you're hilarious and you don't give yourself enough credit for your own successes.
Oh.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, because
you're... But I know, but there's a self-deprecating part of me. Like, there is a... It's part shtick as well. Like, I definitely am grateful for my successes. I know I've been extremely successful. I know I'm one of the more talented people in the world. I know it all. But it's part of my shtick, but I do...
Here you go again.
Okay.
It's just all insecurity. Okay. It's just all...
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Anyway, I have decided to email because I haven't had time to listen these past few weeks. I'm a nurse at an oncology clinic. I'm still going to work. We are seeing more patients become COVID positive, which means they have to delay their chemotherapy because they cannot come to the clinic and they're too sick and it's too risky. I have 2 teenagers at home that are doing online schooling while schools are closed. My youngest has high functioning autism. You would never know if you saw her, but she has social anxiety and she's loving the remote learning. My older daughter is a senior in high school. I feel so bad for her. So far, the prom, graduation, and the senior activities are postponed. End of senior is supposed to be so much fun, and she's stuck at home, unable to be with her friends. She is pretty miserable, and her beautiful banana yellow prom dress is just hanging up. My mother is 78 and lives alone. Last week, we drove by and had her stand out on her balcony so we could wave and say hi from the car. So as COVID lingers on, real life is still happening. I keep looking at the positives. Because of COVID, my mom learned how to FaceTime on an iPad she never used before. My teens are forced to spend time with us, which has been nice. My siblings and cousins all meet up via Zoom, and it was quite comical. Traffic has been next to nothing. The community is coming together to support for one another. And I feel like our governor is doing an amazing job. I'm temporarily going to take a second job to triage people with COVID symptoms to help them get the care they need. I want to help them more wherever I can. I am thankful for your podcast because it gives me a laugh when I need it. And also appreciate Kate and Oliver sharing their true feelings and opinions. Stay safe and keep being real with gratitude. Aaron, great name. It's my wife's name.
That email makes me emotional because, well, for a number of reasons. One, clearly you know, healthcare workers love what they do. They feel this just need and desire to have to help. And I just find people like that to be really admirable. So I really admire that, Aaron. And then to be a mother and to be managing all of these things feels, I understand, you know, we all understand that, you know, but then to add on top of that, what you're doing is just...
It's a great, well-rounded email. It's because it's funny. And she's also, again, we talked about silver linings, but, you know, she's talking about how the family's coming together, how there are more of these Zoom calls. You know, there's a connectivity that's happening that we've talked about.
I got very emotional with the yellow prom dress because you think about kids, especially at that age, you know, your teenage years, everything feels so immediate and like it's just the end of the world, you know, and it's a very hard time to be a teenager. So I feel that sort of that they're not being given their celebratory moments.
I know. We can always say, well, you know what?
Like, yeah,
there's a lot of worse things going on in the world and you can skip your prom and graduation, but it means a lot to these kids. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
I know that these things are horrible, but it's not selfish to sort of say and think, God, I can't believe I'm not going to have my prom. And it's a fucking bummer.
Right. Yeah. Of course, I know.
They're not fucking bummer. Getting their celebratory moment. My prom was so fun.
I know.
Oh my God. We had the best time.
You know, in The Bachelor, there's moments where like girls will be like, I never had a prom. And like,
yeah.
I forget what Bachelor it was, but then they like gave her a prom or something. He gave her a prom.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't The Bachelor. Anyway. But you see that a lot, like girls or guys who didn't get to go to prom.
I know.
And that'll be this generation of seniors.
But by the way, for some people, prom, it's going to be like, oh, fuck, thank God there's no prom. I mean, for real, there's going to be a whole group of kids who are like, holy shit, thank God, I didn't have a date anyway. I was too scared to ask her. Now I'm off the hook.
I loved that email. Thank you, Aaron.
Here we go. Number two. Every sibling rivalry begins the exact moment you lose your position on the throne as being an only child. Most siblings grow out of it. Then there's our story. My brother and I are 4 years apart, almost to the day, missing it by mere hours. So needless to say, my long-standing adoration was easily rocked by his presence the day before my birthday. And that, my friends, is when the torch was lit, igniting our rivalry. I tried to be the proud big sister and probably had the t-shirt that said so, but in all actuality, I just really wanted a kitten for my birthday. So, since my parental units didn't get me one, I figured I would take it upon myself to get my own, which meant at the ripe old age of 4.5, I decided to sell my parents' offspring to the next door neighbor for a quarter and a pack of Juicy Fruit. When the neighbor girl came to collect the little tormentor, it was obvious that the mother figure wasn't about to let it go. So at that point, the only thing left to do was to shove the entire pack of Juicy Fruit in my mouth and hand back over the quarter. After figuring out that I couldn't sell him on the black market, I tried a different approach. Let's try, I don't know, maybe getting along. What could go wrong? We decided to join forces and act like normal siblings, but that was cut short when our mom came home early from work, found out that we were running a neighborhood gambling ring out of our garage at the ripe ages of 11 and 7. That little camaraderie cost us 2 weeks of house arrest during the summer. We decided it would be in our best interest to go back to our normal behavior with each other. Now, flashing forward, because the statute of limitations is not up when it comes to our mom, and there's a lot for us to be still grounded for during our high school and college years, but not to disappoint, our most famous sibling rivalry competition to date. As a prelude, our mom sent us to private Catholic schools our entire life, even down to an all-boys and all-girls Catholic high school. For the past 20-plus years, we have been entertaining friends and family with our yearly Christmas religious gag gifts, and so far it has been a very heated race with Pope on a rope, the Jesus Christ singing Hallelujah wallet, nun bowling set with its own hell ball of fire, how to dance like Jesus book, and of course my favorite, the one I had specially made just to document our monumental occasion of being siblings. With all that being said, I truly enjoy your podcast, knowing that I'm not alone and secretly wanting to get back on that throne. Keep up the amazing work. Stay safe and healthy. From Amy, a.k.a. my mom's favorite child, no matter what she says. Cute.
Did you feel that Amy's submission was really relatable to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, extremely. I don't really ever remember feeling anger, you know, towards you.
What?
No, not really like feeling it, you know? You just got in my way.
Oh, Jesus.
You just got in my way, you know. But all these pictures that I'm finding of us, I'm hugging you and loving you. So maybe I was better than I thought. Maybe you're just remembering all the bad things, you know? But the good things, there are more good things than bad things. But you're just remembering all the bad things. Okay, this is from Kathleen. I just wanted to say I love your podcast, and I'm so grateful for you two for doing what you're doing. I work in healthcare. I am an addictions therapist at a hospital in West Virginia. And while I didn't stockpile toilet paper, I did hoard your episodes, so I've been listening to them on my drive to and from work. If I could give some acknowledgement to my patients, addiction is such an isolating disease, and people in recovery truly benefit from the social connection of others, and they don't get to have that right now. So I've been recommending my peoples listen to your podcast, because for me, when I'm listening to it, it feels like I'm a part of this intimate dialogue with family, and I feel connected to you. So again, I'm so grateful to you for who you are and what you do for others. Aww.
I just want to cry every time. I literally like.
That's amazing. We should do something on addiction. We should do an
episode. Yeah, yeah. Especially because it's so. I mean, when you work in the arts, you're around it so much, yeah. You know. And I've lost a lot of friends to addiction, and I've had a lot of friends that have recovered and suffered and recovered and.
Wow.
Thank you. But I also, it's why we're so pulled to this. Initially, it was really about Oliver and I wanting to just do something fun and spend time together.
It's taken on a different life, which has been so fun. And if we can sort of touch people, you know, even whether it be addiction or isolation or anyone, even bringing up Hoffman, you know, people have been to Hoffman now, and I've gotten 12
oh,
to
really?
15 letters
oh my God.
From people at Hoffman. You know, because at the end, you write, you know, you have an opportunity to write a letter to whoever you want to. And I've gotten, I think, 15 of them. They've heard about it on the show from my experience. They went to Hoffman and, you know, they're like, this has changed my life. And so it's
how amazing is that?
Amazing for me. I cry at each one I read. I'm like, this is so cool.
I feel
like this is so cool.
Us telling stories, playing characters is a blast, right? And you can reach people through characters. Every once in a while, mm-hmm. there's a character that people really relate to, right? But when you can actually sort of talk to people about like the things that could make them feel good in their life mm-hmm. and it actually has some kind of impact, mm-hmm. there's nothing more rewarding to me than like hearing her say that, you know? It just makes me so happy that that's it. I mean, if it just touched Kathleen, I feel totally happy
well,
and grateful that we're doing this.
It makes me want to keep doing these kinds of things. And I know we talked about it in many, many podcasts ago. Maybe I was making this a New Year's Eve thing, but it was about just being more charitable with my time, not necessarily my pocketbook, you know? Mm-hmm. It feels good and it may be selfless. I don't know. It's both. I think it can work both ways. But when you get responses like this, or when I read those letters from Hoffman, it makes me just want to keep doing more of that.
I know.
Well, this was we had to wrap it up. This is so fun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No.
This is so great. Like, reunited.
I can't believe. Are you serious right now?
Yeah. We got to wrap it up just like that. We did it. Great. Love it.
I love you, Oliver.
I love you, too.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.